Well, Donny, first of all, anyway, congratulations on the award that you're getting from the East Kerry Board tonight for lifetime service. What does it mean to you?
Well, it means a lot, Rishi. It is nice to be appreciated after all those years. As you know, I spent my whole life in the GAA. I was a member of the County Board for 50 years and I was a member of the East Kerry Board starting out, and I did well. East Kerry was my love at the start, and I met some wonderful players and some grand fellas. And there it was, labour of love, actually. I enjoyed every bit of it, and I made I made great friends out of it. Any fella that I put on the team, or fellas that I took off the team, they never took any exception to it. They just said, they accepted it, and there was no more about it. What I'm amazed at now, doctors, dietitians, physiotherapists, water carriers. I did the whole lot of them together, so I don't know how I did it, to be honest with you, because you know yourself, there was no water carrier. You might have an old bottle in your back pocket, and there was nothing. And I rubbed fellas, and I would truthfully say the strongest man I ever rubbed was Tom Long. He had a pair of shoulders on him, and he was a mighty man. No, in all the fellas I rub them after the match, and I'd say to them before we go on our training, I'd say, do any fella want to rub before we start? And some fellas would and some fellas wouldn't. But they were a harder race. I'll tell you, you were rural lads too. Like, no, Mikey Lane, as strong as an ox, like, cycled in. The old boots on top of the bar of the bike, and his socks and the socks and the boots and his togs in his pocket, and togged out, and there was no more about it. Had we showers that time?
Yeah. Donny, there was no showers there, yeah. But I mean, the thing about it is, you trained East Kerry, you'll be renowned for a lot of things in the GA, but you trained East Kerry to go to 6 county finals. They won 4, and they won 3 Munster championships, and they won in All Ireland. So there was a lot of work in all of that, and there was great men, as you see.
Did we win 3 Munsters as well?
We did, yeah.
Did we? I remember one day we were playing Glen Rovers below in Cork, and Donny Dunne was in goals, and Long was full forward, and he hit Long a belt. And I gave a shout to Donny, come out here and hit me. I lost the head, of course, as usual. And I turned out to be the best of friends with Donny Dunne. We shook hands when it was over. And I gave his son a job here in Dáil Fáram one time to keep him going, you know. We became the best of friends. But we had great days. And
how did you become involved as trainer of East Kerry? I was not just a manager that time that
no,
made.
No. I often wonder that. Brindy, as you know, Brindy was chairman and Dennis Finton was secretary. And I don't know, Brindy must have said to me, I was training the Crokes all right at that period. And like before that, there was no training. Fellas, there was no training. Where I saw it was Dr. Raymond training, as you know, and you worked above with him, and I saw his training methods, and he was a great man in believing in sprinting and running and things like that. And I copied, no, to be honest with you, the same thing, you know. So how I don't know how, it's so long ago, no, I suppose I was training the Crokes, and the Crokes had only 4 or 5 fellas on that team, actually. And I suppose Brindy said to me, would I train East Kerry or something, you know. I always remember, and you remember it well, we beat Waterville in 3 finals. And when I meet the wire, I'd say, 3 in a row, Mike. And he'd say to me, you had the pick of the shagging country, you see. And I said, we had, says I, but you had to put them together after that. I said, it's as easy as that, you know. But it was the one ambition he had to win a county championship with Waterville. And he didn't succeed anyway. And no, he took it. But Frank Halbert, as you know from Cork, was referee, pilot those matches. And the wire was looking for a penalty one day over. And it was a close match. No, I think it was one of the last matches. And he gave Frank dog's abuse anyway. Frank taught me that himself now after. But I mean, that, Frank, poor old Frank is dead too. But do you remember he used to come down that time and referee all the
good, honest referee and a good man. Yeah. What was Listowel's loss? Was Killarney's game, Donny? Because you're a Listowel man. Talk to us about your family and where you've been born.
I was bred, born and reared in a pub in 14 Upper William Street, Listowel. And fellas would come in looking for me, and my mother would say, he's in two places. He's either in the ball alley or he's above in the sports field. Now, that was my life. I mean, I suppose, Gerald McKenna remembers me playing minor for Listowel against Ballyduff one day. He always refers to it. And I was always interested in the GAA, always.
How many were in the family, Donnie?
There was five girls and two boys. I had one.
Where are they all now?
Well, no, my brother's dead, and he was the youngest of the family, yeah. But my sister's in, one is in America. Another one of my sisters is married in Carlo, and one of my sisters is in Milltown, and the other girl, no, she came to live in Killarney the last couple of years. So,
what school did you go to then, and how did you graduate?
St. Michael's. Oh my God, it was tough that time. Oh, whatever John B. Keane said about it, it was true anyway, because there was a Father O'Connor there, and I remember, you see, when there were shortages of teachers for Saturday study, and you were supposed to go home at 5 o'clock and start studying at home. And I was below in the ball alley one day, and the next thing he was walking, and he saw me and called me and gave me a clout and told me to go home. And then he started raiding houses up the bridge road, and he cut three or four, and so there were about a half a dozen fellas cut anyway. And he brought us all out on Monday morning and gave us six apiece, you know. Oh, he was a pew. I often said, if I could get a gun, I'd shoot him. Yeah, I often said.
Where did you go after St. Michael's?
St. Michael's Inn. I set myself in my time in Maguire's Pharmacy in Listowel. And then eventually I went to Mount Street in Dublin to be qualified as a chemist.
How long did that take?
Well, that time you served your time for 4 years for nothing.
Yeah.
It was a big thing to get in, even, you know. And some of them, if you paid a fee, they give you your fee back over a number of years, you know. But thank God.
And how did you take to Dublin, Donnie? What was the scene there, the football scene and stuff?
I played with the chemists in Dublin, and we had, and it was a real social life, like, kind of. I thought it was great. I remember one day we went on, the chairman, he's dead since, Seamus Fox, he was chairman of the chemist club, and he took us down to his own town, Manor Hamilton, and we had a wonderful day there, played the local club and things like that. But I thought that time there was no place like Dublin. And then when you leave it, you forget about it, you know.
How did your leaving come about then, and where did life bring you after Dublin?
I'll tell you now where I came down to Turles. A fellow called John Fielding, and I was in Turles yesterday, as you probably heard, and my horse won in Turles.
Congratulations.
So it's two big days for me now. Yeah. And I met a fellow there yesterday, and he shook hands with me, and he said, Donnie, I played solo with you way back in 48, which I did, and I'll always remember the annual general meeting of the Turles Starfield Club. Football, £1 for football, that was the expenses. They bought one ball for the year, and that was it. And here was I, stone mad in football. I couldn't believe it, like, you know. I started an old junior team there, and I think we won something. But I was always, no, I love hurling and everything, but, like, as you know, the Kerry hurlers, I won't say anything about them. But
we wished them well.
We wished them well, no, that's all. No.
When did you come back to Kerry then?
I came back to Kerry in 19... I left Turles and I went up to a place called Dunleary and Louth. And I played with the Marys and Ardy, and with Paddy Smith of Cavan, and with all the boys. And I came back then in 51. I came back here, and I was a sub. I came in at half time in the Dick Fitzgerald team over against Dingle. And who was marking me? Tim Nindas. And I'll never forget it. When I had a bat that night.
That was Paddy Barnes' brother.
Paddy Barnes' brother.
Yeah.
I was black and blue. Black and blue. I must have got some belt in. Oh, but Kavanagh was full forward the same day, and it was a wet day. And
Dan Kavanagh.
And he said to me, don't bother fielding anything, no. Stand in front of me and I'll tap him, don't you? Which he did. And I kicked 2 or 3 points to anyone who would kick them over. We were straight in front of the post, which was Kevin, and we won the same day, you know. And Teddine was on it, and Maya Larkin, and the Larkins from Listry, and Paddy Tangney, and Michal O'Leary.
We were back in Killarney at this stage, Donnie. And Killarney. Where were you? Where were you in Killarney?
I was working in the hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
And the dispensary and things like that. And I had, that's the only job I had. And I had a half day off every day, well, nearly anyway, like kind of, I used to be kicking football, you know, I mean, kind of, and Lionel said to me, is there any fella that'll go up and kick a ball? And I'd get some fella to go up and kick the ball back to Tiggy, like, you know. So I enjoyed it.
How did you set about your own business, didn't you, when the shop came up?
When the shop came up, I bought the shop and I got a loan of £1,000. And before, a bit after that, I went down to the bank with Michael O'Connor and I signed my name with Michael for £1,000 to build the dressing rooms in the Fitzgerald Stadium. And I had that above at home, and when my wife died, there was a clear out and I had it where we got a loan of £1,000 to build the dressing rooms.
Of course, you were deeply involved in all your life with the Croke Club. You were an officer in the Croke for many years.
I was. And I found the other day, and I'll tell you something I found. A life membership of the Croke Club. A life membership, and it's signed by Del Brosnan and Lord Mersenham, poor old Eddie Barry. Membership, So I was chairman for about 20 years, roughly 19 or 20 years. And my wife would say to me, did you get out of it? And eventually I talked Tom Long into becoming chairman. And the Longs took it about 2 or 3 years. I was too bloody long in it. But you'd be at the meeting and no one had taken it over.
Yeah.
No, we're doing fine. We're doing fine enough.
And of course, Donnie, then you'll be well known then, because you became involved with Kerry team. How did your first involvement come as a selector with Kerry football teams? How did that come about?
I was a minor selector first. I say I was. And what I found finishing up in the minor selector, I don't know how many years now, that is so long ago, but I met a man there now on the street today, and he told me he was in London in 68 and 69, and that I was over with the Kerry team, and that we were stuck, and he played for us. I don't know his name now. He called me there on the street. But I was a senior selector. I was selected with Johnny for a good few years, actually, before 75 now. And again, I was a junior selector. And what finished me with the minor selectors was this. The parents would be ringing you up all about their children and about their son, and my son should be on the team. And I said, don't, it's time now to call it a day.
But Donnie, you have a kind of a unique record. I wonder now, our listeners might know, how many men in Kerry have been selectors? You were a selector on a junior under 21 and senior winning All-Ireland
that's
teams,
right,
weren't you?
Right, that's
now,
right.
That's unique in itself. Talk to me about that minor, that under 21 team of 75.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the greatest under 21 team ever?
Twice.
You were a selector.
I was a selector, and I'll tell you, we picked two fellas out of the minors that day. We'd after seen the minor final, and the two of them were Jack O'Shea and Shawnee Welch. They were still minors at that stage, and we decided to play them in the under 21.
Now, Donnie, what had they that you picked them out? What do you look for when you're looking for a Kerry footballer? No. What had they, because they went on to become All-Stars?
They did.
What do you look for?
I look for a bit of physique first. You want to have a bit of strength. And you'd know the way the fella catches the old ball and goes up for it and shows fella out of his way. And you'd say, geez, there's something. The first day I saw Sheehy, I said, he'll make the grade. Yeah. Sheehy, you know, was very neat, a neat footballer. But I remember we played above one day and I said to whoever I selected with, I said, well, we found one man anywhere today, Mikey Sheehy. You know, but you must in intercounty, you must have the physique. And I'd always say, some fella suggests some fella to me for a full forward. And I would say back, if Big Mick lines a meat, hit him a belt, he'd be found in the Hogan stand.
Now, talking about full forwards now, I'm going to bring the listeners a lovely story, because just when, if we went out that back door here in the lane in Killarney, Borincuil, and went across the road, there was a harness maker shop.
Yes, right.
And there was one particular morning, you always were in and out of John O'Grady's,
yes,
and
right.
with your white coat. And if you walked in, you'd have to back out, it was so small. But it was a great football house, the late right. John O'Grady.
Right.
And one particular morning, you came in with your coat on you, and you had been at a trial match in Tralee. I always repeat, tell our listeners exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, is it the bomber you're talking about? Well, I'll tell you, that time you had to go around and go to all the clubs to be elected as a selector. So I went up to North Kerry and I met Pat, the chairman of the BL club, Pat Joe Heron, and he's a personal friend of mine. And says, I have anyone for the whole team. And we have a fella, they call him the bomber. Jesus, he's awkward though, he said. So I said, send him in anyway. Is he a big fellow? I said, he's a big, strong fellow, he said.
There was a game that night, wasn't it?
It was, and the bomber played. He couldn't hand to toe the ball. He couldn't do... He was the most, with all due respect, you know, bomber, he was the most awkward man I ever saw starting out football. But the one thing that stood him, he went down to Waterville with the wire, and the wire coached him. The wire took him in hands, and he made a football rule.
But the morning after that match, Donnie, you landed across the road, across the laneway here into John O'Grady's, and there was a crowd of us inside.
Yeah.
And somebody said to you, how did the trial game go last night?
Yes. And I said, we got a fella, they call him the bomber, and I think he might make the grade.
Yeah.
And... the bomber, he's a big strong man, of course. And but I had picked him out now that night because I could see the rough edges in him, but I could see all the potential.
How long were you a senior selector then, Donnie? He talks to us about the games, and of course, you were a selector the day that Mickey Sheehy was knocked out. You helped carry him off the field.
I did, that's right. And I'll tell you what happened there. This is what happened. This is how I went into the field. And
this was 75.
75. Mickey was knocked out and the wire gone in and the wire waved to bring in the sub. And now I said, George Driscoll. No, before that, we were resting in the room before you go down to the match and things. You know, they carry on, every fellow. And I was passing the wire's bedroom and I went into the wire and I said, what will we do? Who will we bring on the sub? Says I, if any fellow gets hurt. And he agreed with me, George Driscoll. I said, I'd agree with George Driscoll. So anyway, when it came, the selectors, I said, George Driscoll, and Mark Kelly said, John Long. Now, John Long was a very good player, and I'm not taking from him or anything. And I said to him, I agreed with the wire. Says I, that it would be George Driscoll. Go in and ask him, who does he want to bring in, he said to me. So I went in and I asked the wire who he wanted to bring in, and the wire came out and called George Driscoll. And that's why I walked off the field and lifted my hand, and I wanted to G up the Kerry players because, geez, I was worried, to be honest with you, you know, at this stage, a pack of young lads like had never won anything. And I'll tell you a funny thing, I'm going down the street the other day, and who did I meet with Paddy Shea? And I never saw him looking as well. Spruce out, and he had his young lad with him, and he introduced me to his young lad, Patrick O'Shea. Nice young lad, and I shook hands with him. And Paddy said to his son, he said, that's Donny Sheen, he said, he was a Kerry selector when I won my first All-Ireland. And he said he trained his Kerry team to win the first All-Ireland Club Championship.
Isn't that nice?
Wasn't it lovely?
I said
to the young lad, don't mind your father's side, don't take any notes. But it was nice, wasn't it?
How long were you a senior selector then?
I was there above in Cork today. Do you remember the wet day that you came in as a sub?
But Josie Bryan came in as a sub.
Josie Bryan came in, was it?
And he lost his place in the Kerry Juniors,
didn't he? Yes.
Yeah, but Cork Beachy by...
Well, pint.
Eamon O'Donoghue was in goal. Tell us that story.
Eamon O'Donoghue, it was an awful wet day.
Yeah.
And Eamon O'Donoghue was in goals. And at half-time, we decided that we'd bring in, we'd known to take the frees. I think Tarney was playing the same day in the Shears, and no, they were great, they were great players, great clubmen anyway. But anyway, we decided we'd bring Eamon out to take the frees, and I think the final score was about 6-5 or 7-6. We lost by point anyway. No, when we brought Eamon out of the goals, we brought in
Josie O'Brien,
who was the sub goalie.
Mm-hmm.
go ma agus da vrishin din, there was no goalie for the junior team, and you were picked for a goalie for the junior team. Mm-hmm. You got your trip around the bloody world out of it, and you got, right, yeah. But you played in London in yeah. the final,
yeah.
And do you know what? Like George, he should have been under tune. I'm not he's taking all from him or anyone, but the way things worked out, and yeah. you know, and yeah. you'd never think when you're making changes or things like that that you're going to deny a fella of anything, you know.
Did you find, Donnie, without going into too deeply, did you find being a selector that, and you, I know it, you would have selectors pulling for their own fellas and trying to slip in fellas. That went on. I don't know whether they're still going on, but it was definitely there on even long ago.
You can be sure. You can be
every selector looking after his own fellow.
Correct. That is true. I didn't realise it until I was a selector myself, and I woke up to myself and I said, "Jeez, I better look after these Kerry fellas. They can look after Croats and Legion fellas and things like that, because there were some fellas there. Well, I can't name names, but they had their own fellas on, and like you would have a big question mark about them." You know? Yeah.
What were the most memorable games you remember, Donnie, being involved in of all? We'd say taking in East Kerry now and the Crokes and Kerry and all. What game, what one game would stand out in your memory?
I suppose the 75 All-Ireland. Yeah, the 75 All-Ireland. And to the start of you know, and we went up with the underdogs. We had no chance. Nobody gave us a hope, like, kind of. And the Welsh said to me, "Dublin will be awful fit. We must have them as fit as Dublin." And that was the whole thing, to be as fit as Dublin.
Yeah.
But sure. Well, there was, sure, any time you win a championship, like, it's yeah. those great days. Like,
yeah. The football today now, Donnie, there's an awful lot of crowding and swarming and everything.
Yeah. It isn't football at all, as Connell says himself. They're not kicking it at all. They're not either. It is all hand passing. I'm disgusted with it at times now. And some fella counted one time 20 passes around the back line in particular, which the wild would always say. And Dr. Damon used to say, "Catch it and clear it out." You know yourself, Dr. Damon had squares, and you dare leave your square, the full back of the. There was no such thing. You cut it and you kicked it.
You can go back to the 40s, Donnie, and come up along. If you were to pick out a couple of footballers out of each decade coming up along till today now, who are the great players you'd pick out? I'm not pinning you down to any particular one, but we say come up from the 40s, 50s, 60s. What players were the greats?
I thought Paddy Kindy, you know, was. I saw him in 46 up here, like, kind of. And Ted Dean was a very good player. And Dan Cavan was a very good player. But the thing about it that time, you could go to the matches and you'd pick out your inter-county players. They were outstanding. You wouldn't want to be a genius at all to pick them, because they always shone in the local matches, and that's where you saw the players, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because Karen fellas in for trials, it is a bit unfair, because some fellas can take it well, and some fellas get all worked up over the trial, and they don't do themselves justice.
Yeah.
No, Sean Murphy gave a display one day in Croke Park against Galway, it was.
In 59.
In 59 was that year, and Jesus, he was outstanding, outstanding. Yeah. Yeah. Sure, I saw some great players.
Yeah.
I mean, Tiggy, one of our own, and sure, we saw some. Dingle had a great team. Sure, Dingle was into Kerry that time in a tournament match.
Yeah.
Dead Gagger and Dillon and Sean Brosnan. And
you were a county board delegate, of course, for how many years, and how did you enjoy all that, Pat? 50 years.
And the one thing that
you saw big changes.
I saw awful changes.
What chairman did you work under?
Frank Shee, he was the first man. The next man was Jim Brosnan. The next man was McKinnon. And the next man was Frank King, Lord Mercy him.
Yeah.
And
Sean Kelly.
Sean Kelly. Yeah. Sean Kelly was the last. I think I resigned before Jerome Conway.
Sean Welch then, and Jerome Conway.
I had got out with that, you know.
Yeah. Had the county board changed in any
it
way?
Has changed,
over
I tell you, no.
Yeah.
When we went in, we had a debate. And we argued things, and there was, and the very first thing I'd say to McKinnon in particular, that how many National League matches have we? And he'd say, we have six. That's okay, Gerald, I said. Three for Killarney and three for Tralee. And we'll divide them whatever way you like. And he'd say, that's agreed. No, you go over to the county board now, and the officers tell you what to do. There's no one there to have any bit of a discussion or anything. And it is all accomplished beforehand. And it is all... And you might as well... That's when I got fed up with it finishing up. You went over full of enthusiasm, that's the word to use. Yeah. And the next thing, your whole night is for nothing. You know, there's nothing constructive to them. Nothing constructive to them.
That's right, yeah. And everything is arranged beforehand.
Correct. Yeah. The what they call the officers at the top. And they have the chairman called so-and-so. He'll tell us now about juvenile football. Sort of he'll tell us about the senior training. And it's all pre-arranged.
You never drank or smoked in your life, Donnie. No, and horses are your big love now, aren't they? Yeah, and you had a big win yesterday in Turles. What was the name of the horse?
For Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm passing the road there the other day, about a month ago, and Billy Keane from Listowel was passing just in the main street, and he put down the window of the car, and he said, Donny, thanks for calling the horse after me. Billy, oh, geez.
I wonder, did he back him yesterday, though?
The price was no good. The price was no good. Yeah. But
is horse is your pastime, Donny? Outside of that, would you watch television or
I would. I watch more sport. I'd have a look at more sport. Yeah. I would.
But Latimer seen you last your wife then, and that was a very sad time for you, Donny?
Twice. Ah, sure. Yeah, I miss her terrible.
You do, of course, don't you? You do, that goes without saying, Latimer, it is nice to remember. But anyway, you're here now, and the business now is being run by your son. Tell us how many were in the family.
I had three boys and two girls.
Yeah, tell us who they were and what they are doing now.
Liam is a chemist, the same as myself. He's in the shop here. Paul, my other son, is a chemist in Kinmare. Mm-hmm. Kieran, my other boy, who was a very brilliant student, got a scholarship in Rockwell and everything for me. And he's a professor at Bowen Vincent's Hospital in Dublin. He spent 8 years in America, and his pathology is his field. And my daughter, Catherine, she's a principal in Ballyfermot School. And she could tell you stories every day about Ballyfermot. Anyway, I tell you that much. And Aileen Dean is a physiotherapist, so they all went to college. And
Paul was the only one that made a mistake. He married a Legion woman.
That's correct.
Where did
that's
he go wrong?
Well,
he married Tommy Regan's daughter.
That's right.
Louise,
and she's a lovely girl. I only give her the height of praise. She's a lovely
girl. And you have a lot of grandchildren all. By the way,
I have 13 grandchildren.
Have you 13 grandchildren?
And I'll tell you a funny
thing. One of them was a great sport. Rugby player. Rugby. Tell me about him, Donnie.
Kevin is his name. Yeah. 18, 19 and 20, he played for Ireland.
Yeah.
But he went to Italy for a year on a contract, but he injured his knee, and the last match he played, his collarbone went out. He's very unlucky with injuries, and Aileen's two young lads then, they played basketball for Ireland. You know, so they brought it somewhere anyway.
Apple never falls off the tree.
No.
And of course, you always had a great interest in Fitzgerald Stadium. You were always involved in the committee there, don't you?
I was for years. But, the best day they ever did was the hill. Do you remember that? It was only made of grass, correct? Mm-hmm. And the minute they put all I suppose in hindsight, and when times were cheap, we should have probably put a stand there in the hill. Would it take from it? Yeah. I don't know. We were thinking of doing that at the time, and then we didn't anyway. But, it couldn't be passed at all now. Do you remember the grass? And you wouldn't think... Well, it was well done and everything, but it couldn't...
And, of course, your club, Dr. Crokes, you don't miss a match. I meet you at all the games. And, of course, when they won the All-Ireland in 92, you were one of the proudest men. Yeah. And now they're in the Munster final coming up against Nemo Rangers. because they have a good team, Donny, now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Nemo, I believe, are very confident. Yeah. And I had good news now. I met the Gneeguilla match had been played beforehand now. And that match is starting at 1 o'clock. And our match is 2:30.
Oh, yeah,
a double fixture for the Kerry club. And that's the right thing to do. I was talking to Sean Welchester, you know, and I said, he worked their head at long last anyway, because they were going to put that fixture somewhere else, So, Nemo play our type of football. They'll be tipping it around. There'll be no hassling, And I believe they're very confident. I think they have a very good team. But all odds aren't bad now.
The new star, of course, on the horizon, and he's a Crokeman, is Colm Cooper. Now, you've seen all the footballers back since the 40s. Now, Donny, what has Colm Cooper described? As an authority on football and as a selector, and I've seen them all now. Describe Colm Cooper. What has he?
I'll tell you what he has. He's the quickest thinker I know. And I have said that the fellas, and I was talking to another manager one day, and he says, we put two fellas in Cooper and he still beat us. He's a fraction ahead of the whole lot, and he knows, he can read the game, and he knows where the ball is going to be a second before any other fella knows where. And he has a side stepped in, so that goal in the county final, he stood back one step, and the two boys ran by him, and they put into the corner over. No. I thought up till I see Cooper, I thought Mikey Sheehy was one of the best forwards I'd seen. No, Pat Griffin was a very good forward. Pat says the boys went out to see him, and the one thing he remembers, Donnie Sheehan shouting at him, Pat Griffin kicked the bloody ball. But Pat was a solo man, an awful man for him to toe and all the rest. But I thought Mikey Sheehy was the best until I saw Cooper. And I've never seen anything like him, to be honest with you. I've never seen anything like him.
Before we finish up, I'm going to put you in the position. I'm not going to ask you who was the best Kerry footballer you ever saw, but I'm coming at it from a different angle. First of all, I'm going to ask you, who was the best Kerry goalkeeper you ever saw?
Just as I said, Dan
O'Keefe. Who was the best in the full back line that you ever saw?
Well, I suppose Cahan had been the man there.
Who was the best half-back you ever saw?
Bill Dillon of centre-half-back for Dingle.
Now, who was the best midfielder you ever saw?
No, that's a six-mark question. No, you can mention three there. You can mention Paddy Kinney, Mick O'Connell and Jack O'Shea.
Yeah.
No, the choice is yours after that.
But what's your choice? If I was to say to you, Donnie, you can pick one of these for the Crokes for the Munster final against Nemo Rangers, who would you pick?
I'd pick Connell.
You'd pick Connell, right. Who's the best half-forward you ever saw?
Half-forward? Oh, my God. I'd say Pat Griffin was one of the best.
Right, and who's the best full-forward you ever saw?
Long played full-forward. I'd consider Long one of the... I would. I'd consider him still one.
You're in great form. You're in great form, even though, that you, as you often said to me, that Lord have mercy in the death of your wife knocked a lot out of you. But still, you're always buoyant. You're always... chatting, your memory is impeccable. You love meeting people, love talking football. Life at the moment generally is good for you, is that right?
Thank God.
Your grandchildren keep you going.
Yeah, I have 13 grandchildren, and they're all very good and very nice. And I'll tell you, football keeps me alive because the fella comes into the shop, it is all football, it is all football.
Is that one of your grandsons working in the shop with him? Tell me about him.
No interest in the world in football.
Whose son is he?
He's Liam's son.
Yeah.
But his brother, Donal, won in his Kerry League minor with the Crokes.
Yeah.
But then went away to school, don't you know, to carry on. And he kind of half gave up.
But you still drop in here every day to the chemist shop? Don't you still keep in touch?
I do. I come down. Just come down. It keeps me sane, to be honest with you. Yes, because what would you be above at home looking at the four walls, after having your breakfast? I go to Mass every morning, and after Mass, then I come down to the
your
shop.
Your faith means a lot to you, don't it?
It does. I believe there's a hereafter. I definitely believe there's a hereafter. Yeah. And I believe that we'll meet all our pals thereafter, Ian.
Yeah. And you'll be stepping up tonight at that big banquet with Cart O'Sullivan Darcy.
Right,
I was just chatting with her in the chat with Cart for Teller's Talk Monday night, and a great lady too. Women. And there's more women involved now in the GA, Tony, in our early times. Your early days, there wouldn't have been any.
No woman. Yeah. I just see Spa have a woman there in the paper I think she's the chairman of Born in August or something in Spa. Yeah. But 'tis only right you know, that they should take, because, I mean, they have, there's women there, they have great ability, you know, they'd organise anything, you know. I have a daughter myself, she's a teacher, and she'd organise, you know, yeah. she's trained to do that, like, you know. Yes, yes. But Arthur's only right, I'm glad to see all the women, because, and I know the one thing that I used to say about training, the one thing. We started 3 weeks beforehand. The first week was tough. The second week got a bit easier. And the last week, we finished always about Wednesday before the game. We did nothing. But the one thing when I went in, I said, lads, there's one thing, no. There's no more drink tonight until after the night of the match. He can do whatever he like. But there's no drink. And... fair play, all the boys. Well, at least as far as I know whether they were sipping in between or not. But I hate a drink. Like, you know, I hated the drink.
In all those six county finals that I was involved yeah, with, Joe, with yeah, that team, yes. Fortunate enough, and the longest memory in my mind yes. would be of you running all over the field in and out, up and down, eating grass.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You were very active on the sidelines, weren't you? And as you say, you did the water boy, you did pick the jerseys off the ground, yes, you did right. physio, and you did a bit of psychology, the minds
well,
and all.
I did. Well, I did, actually, yeah. I mean... I did, actually. Well, you'd go up to a fella and you'd say, you played in him before. You'll beat the sugar out of him, like, you know, you'll beat him. Don't be worried, no. Play your own game and do your stuff. And I remember this. We were playing mid-Kerry in the county final. And Jordan, who, a fine fella from... And he was left half-back and he was marking Brendan Lynch. And anyway... I said to him, I was above all the week and I shown him the ball and Lynch coming up with the left leg and he's trying to go by him. I said, stay with him now, stay with him. And he kept Brendan scoreless. And I went in and I put my hands on him and I said, don't mind him, he's just out there, sir, you're man of the match. You know, and he said, I never ran so much, Donny, and I never got so few kicks in my life, he says.
Finally, Donny, I suppose one of your biggest achievements was training these Kerry team that won the All-Ireland in 1971. Anyone that trains a winning team of an All-Ireland in Croke Park. Some big names there in front of you.
There is.
Rattling off a few names.
Well, no, I see here Dan Kevin and Mick Deason and Dennis Coffey. That was the full forward line. That was a fair full forward line, wasn't it? And in the full back line, we had Donny Sullivan, Derry Crowley and Jim Gleeson. Well, most of those fellas played, they played the junior thing was a big thing that time for the playful kids. At that time, no. They say, as you know, it has changed. No, you have to come from a junior club. But just Kerry's second best team.
It was better
competition. Yeah. And you got fellas out of the juniors to play. Should they, Pat Mine, you know, and Derry Crowley and all. They started with the juniors and they got onto the scene. And did you see, the other counties thought that Kerry were too strong and we were winning too many junior All-Irelands and they brought in the same way with it. This was the last time that there was a divisional team allowed play in the club championship and I appealed it for about 3 years and I got it through at the county board every time and when it went to the Congress it was beaten every time because they knew we'd win a good few more. Like,
there was
know.
One particular county final and there was one man going for the priesthood. And the priest, going for the priest at that time, you weren't allowed to play. You should be above inside the college. But this one particular man was playing with his Kerry. And what ye did, you and the selectors did, ye put another man in for the photograph. Ye put him marching around the field. And before the game started, that man dropped out and the priest student came in. Do you remember that? That was good stuff. Do you remember it?
I do. But I can tell...
All that stuff was going on that time, wasn't it?
Twas. And the fellas were... The pile of fellas illegal. Like kind of... that you could bring a fella in and you could... Yeah. You know, I mean, they wouldn't have the rules anyway. And if they were there, nobody took any notice of them.
So, Donny, finishing up now, what gives you most contentment now in this time of your life?
I'm glad to see the young lads coming up and see my grandchildren coming and doing something and to see them. Dull hustle keep me going out at the moment.
Well, Donnie, listen to me. Thanks for talking to me and have a great night tonight. And once again, congratulations on getting the award.
Thank you.
Because no man deserved it more.
Thank you.
And listen to me, well done.
Thank you very much indeed.